Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sunshine Nation, welcome here on another Friday afternoon to the show. Some show notes. If you're going to head out and find some pro wrestling this weekend, tonight, WCWO, as usual, at the Outlaw Arena, VPW in Santa Maria, California, ASWN in Fort Valley, Georgia, NSCW in Hardin, Kentucky, SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee, UWS in Hazel Park, Michigan, tomorrow night, Emerge Pro Wrestling in Columbus, Indiana, ASWA in Morristown, Indiana, GCW in Bell City, Alabama, GRPW in Pacifica, California, CRW in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Off the Chain Wrestling in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, KCXW in Kansas City, Kansas, Strong Style Wrestling in South Bend, Indiana, and tomorrow night, MIW in Hamel, Minnesota. Well, QT, sounds like a lot of good shows happening in the next few days. Should be a big week for professional wrestling.
Yes, Sun Guy, and I would like to thank you for your delivery of a care package, if you can call it that, to one blue-collar wrestler, a Russian wrestler that we both know, Gregor Petrov. Yes, huge transportation savings for me, having you deliver this rather weighty cookie package. Yes.
Now, can you explain why there is no fruit pie? Because the locker room was stunned, agape, if you will, that there was no fruit pie involved. As promised, well, it was promised to be a fruit pie.
Well, Sangai, as you know, sometimes a championship-quality wrestler, take like Goldberg, he's known for his spear. Every once in a while, you have to change up your routine to keep your opponents off balance. For instance, could you see Goldberg setting up for a spear, or maybe Shawn Michaels setting up for sweet chin music, and all of a sudden they go to the like a middle ring rope and both do a moonsault, thus canceling out the spear and sweet chin music? That's kind of what I did with Gregor Petrov. I just wanted to change my routine. Yes.
I could not see Goldberg executing a moonsault, really. I never saw him do one, although when he was very first starting out on Nitro, he used to do a standing backflip, but it really had no purpose. He just did standing backflips.
Well, I myself have done quarter standing backflips getting out of bed myself.
How do you do a quarter standing backflip?
Very carefully, yes. And it's much less riskier than half backflips. That's what I'm getting at. And you should tell this to Laren Golden Songbird Amos. Quarter backflips can be done even at my age. Yes.
Now, do you think that you could execute this quarter standing backflip off of the top rope and onto a helpless opponent at Suquamish Championship Wrestling?
Yes, I think I could still get a quarter backflip off. Yes, Sangai. Yes, that's affirmative.
Now, which hapless opponent would you most want to hit with this standing backflip moonsault?
Without a doubt, and I say this without the least hesitation, Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Huh. Now, what is it with Pimp that makes you want to moonsault him?
Because I wouldn't dare do anything other than a quarter moonsault on him. Yes. Or else a pimpette might sneak into the ring and get me in an ankle lock. That's what I'm getting at, son of a guy. Yes. If I did anything further than a quarter backflip, like a half backflip, I might fail or bounce off Randy the Pimp Taylor into the arms of his pimpettes, which actually I might not mind. Yes.
Now, why would you not go after Paul Moonshine, whom you have a semi-heated relationship with, according to a note that was passed along with the cookies?
Well, in theory, I think I could hit a more than a quarter moonsault on Paul Moonshine, yes. I hate to give away what I'm thinking about doing in our stepladder match, see. It's not very wise to give away your battle plans. Yes.
So you do not want to go into detail on your battle plan for this stepladder match?
That's true, yes. I don't know. And why couldn't it be a tag team stepladder match, SCW matchup? I mean, maybe I could get Coach Mike Jones to tag team with me against Paul Moonshine and perhaps Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Well, because A, Paul Moonshine doesn't work at SCW. B, because you did not challenge him to a tag team match.
Well, think of the collective age of the teams. Coach Mike Jones and myself versus Paul Moonshine and Randy the Pimp Taylor. Think of the chronological years involved. Yes. They themselves would be slightly older than Coach Mike Jones and myself. Yes.
Very interesting. Have you examined the birth certificates to confirm the ages of everyone involved?
I have a sneaking suspicion that Paul Moonshine was not born in the United States.
Really? In which country do you think he hails from initially?
Without hesitation, I say Venezuela. In fact, I believe Paul Moonshine hails from the slums of Calcutta. I mean, Caracas. Caracas, yes.
So you think he's Venezuelan?
Yes, I believe he once knife-edged chopped Hugo Chavez. That's what I'm getting at. That's why he had to flee the country, son guy.
Wow, but he did escape, apparently.
Yes, he escaped on this ex-Coast Guard, Coast Guardsman calls a go-fast. Now, a go-fast usually can be seen around, let's say, in the Gulf of Mexico or the Straits of Florida. What they are, son guy, go-fasts are pretty much tricked-out speedboats with very powerful motors and an extra supply or barrels of gasoline to get them through the Straits of Florida and coming up from the the ABC Islands, Aruba, Curacao, and Bonaire, where they're transporting drugs. Now, I'm not accusing Paul Moonshine of being a rum runner or a drug runner of any kind. I'm just saying that he may have fled Venezuela with a lot of, let's say, belts in hand, belts and wrestling belts, some of them authentic, some of them made up. But they were faced with pretty much a mix of platinum and gold. So very valuable wrestling belts that Paul Moonshine may have pilfered from the slums of Caracas. That's what I'm getting at. Yes. Pissed Hugo Chavez off to no lengths. Yes.
Now, why is it the Florida Straits? Because if you look at Florida, it's not exactly straight. There are curves to it.
That's true, son guy. There's a chain of islands, you know. They're the upper and middle and lower keys. Yes. Kind of like a pot handle. Pot handle, yes.
So why is it straight?
Oh, I don't know. Why do we have the word archipelago? And what is indeed an archipelago? And why haven't we had a baby face from any archipelago on the site of the global hemisphere? Any global hemisphere. The archipelago baby face. Any wrestler. Yes, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, how do you know that there's not been someone that hails from the archipelago?
Oh, I'm going to have to do some research on that. I mean, I myself have never heard of the Archipelago Kid. Have you?
I'm not saying that was his name, but, you know, maybe there's someone that hails from there.
I don't know. I guess I will have to do a little bit of research into that. Now, is it true that Carlito hailed from a Puerto Rican lagoon? That's what I'm getting at. Carlito,
I don't
one
think
of my
so, but if you take a look at the word archipelago and what it means, by definition, there's several wrestlers that came out of there. Let's take, for example, Japan, which is an archipelago. You have Antonio Inoki, Masashi Ito, Tatsumi Fujinami, all baby faces. You have New Zealand. The Bushwhackers are from New Zealand. The Bahamas, you have Tyree Pride from Hawaii, which is another great example of an archipelago. You have High Chief Peter Mayavia. Mr. Fuji was originally from Hawaii. He was babyface very early on in his career, I believe. And New York City, also technically an archipelago. Lots of babyfaces out of New York City. Let's take, for an example, Zack Ryder.
Oh, okay. Well, now, you forgot Haru Sasaki, who used to wrestle in Portland back in the late 60s and 70s. But I don't know if you classified Japan as an archipelago, Sangai.
It actually is. It is a group of islands strung together, which Japan is. There are
right.
Several islands that make up Japan.
I see. Now, Sangai, speaking of Portland wrestling, we are all pretty much in mourning of the passing of Tom Peterson. Yes.
Absolutely. Very long time sponsor of Portland wrestling, going back decades. His store sponsored the TV show for Portland wrestling, so he was very instrumental in helping keep Portland wrestling on the air in its heyday of the 70s and 80s.
Yes, I can see Tom Peterson was to Portland wrestling what Patty of Patty's Home Plate is to BCW. Do you think this would be a fair analysis?
It's a similar analysis, except Tom Peterson, to my knowledge, never had an ownership stake in the promotion, whereas Patty does. But Patty did start off as simply a sponsor.
I see. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what that share of stake in BCW Patty owns? Is it a 51% stake?
I don't have the paperwork in front of me to confirm or deny anything of that, but there are three owners, so I'm not sure if 51% would be accurate or not. You'd have to take that up with the owners the next time you're in Portland.
Oh, okay. Now, to your knowledge, Sangai, did Tom Peterson ever stop in at Patty's Home Plate? And how long has Patty's Home Plate been around? When you walk into Patty's Home Plate, it has to feel like it's been there for quite some time. To your knowledge, how long has Patty been on that home site?
Let's see. Without having the menu in front of me, which does detail that, my memory says that Patty herself has owned it since, I believe, 1996, but the place itself has been around since the 50s.
Ooh. Okay. 50? Okay. Now, are there any truth to the rumors, Sangai, that you plan to take Casey Carlisle to Patty's Home Plate and have her try a double cheeseburger and maybe a chocolate malt? That's a huge question, Casey Carlisle.
Well, do you think an athlete in training would eat that for a meal prior to a match?
You've got a point there, Sangai. How about switching and offering Casey Carlisle the boneless, skinless chicken breast with buffalo hot sauce that is now rumored to be a staple of One Buddy Highway. Boneless, skinless chicken breast with red hot hot sauce.
Well, I cannot confirm or deny that. We'll have to see what she has to eat and where when she comes into town.
I see. Is there any truth to the rumors that you may have a sign of the times with Casey Carlisle shot at Patty's home plate? That'd be huge.
Well, I believe there's scuttlebutt of some sort about this, but I cannot confirm or deny that. Plus, wouldn't that maybe reveal the undisclosed location of the episode?
Yeah, the undisclosed location. We've got to keep that pure, yes. And it, usually coming from an undisclosed location is pretty much right to the second. We can't give any advanced warning. Yes, I kind of digress there. Yes. Now, Sunday, as you remember, 2 years ago during the summer, Buddy Highway had a very street fight with Grigor Petrov. This battle through the streets near Patty's home plate took place on a route that was approximately in length 2¼ miles. How do you think Casey Carlisle could have fared if she teleported back in time 2 years ago to that summer and wrestled Buddy Highway through the streets of Lower Portland? Yes.
She might have been able to take Buddy, although that was at Buddy's height of hardcore wrestling, I think. He was primed for that match, had trained for it for a long time, and you saw the destruction that he and Petrov unleashed during that match, so it's hard to say.
Yes, I remember Grigor Petrov leaping off a stone wall onto a Buddy Highway. It was kind of like a stone wall in a what the Germans call a Platz, a town square. And I remember Buddy Highway scoop slamming Grigor Petrov on a grassy knoll. Two highlights of that match that I distinctly remember. Yes. Plus, I got a slight sunburn. Yes.
Did you have to use aloe vera to treat the burn?
Oh, no. I mean, never really much into aloe vera. I just let it subside into skin cancer. Yes.
Now, have you tried the waters flavored with aloe vera? It's a new thing. All the kids are drinking it.
I'm more into coconut milk, Sangai. Coconut milk. Supposed to be loaded with riboflavins and B vitamins. Yes, I think that's very good for my eyesight. Coconut milk.
Well, you might down a aloe vera water to see if it changes your mind. You might switch to aloe vera water.
I cannot confirm
if it is endorsed by Buddy Highway or not, but it's possible.
All right, I'm going to ask Buddy Highway 5 questions about aloe vera after we hang up. Yes.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Now, Sangay, speaking of the rich tradition of Japanese wrestlers and the mention of coconuts, that brought my mind back to the Philippines and Mindanao and Tarawa and those long chain of islands that we fought for so desperately in World War II. Now, I was recently on the Air Force Base and reading an autobiography of a man named Dick Bong. Dick Bong was our leading World War II fighter ace in World War II, and he downed 40 Japanese airplanes, plus I think he said 7, or the autobiography said 7 or 8 probable. Now, when you go into combat and it's probable that you may have downed a fighter, there's probably no videotape of it, or if there is any, it's scant, and you're doing an aerial maneuver after you have shot at that plane, and you can't confirm that it went down, but maybe it smoked a little after you hit it with your machine guns. So in all probability, Dick Bong may have even had closer to 50 to 52 kills. My question is, why hasn't there ever been a wrestler to grace the wrestling rings in SCW or BCW clad in World War II fighter helmet with a scarf and goggles to protect the eyes from eye gouges. That's what I'm getting at, eye gouging. World War II goggles to protect. Yes.
Well, probably because the goggles would be in a museum somewhere and not accessible to anyone to use for their match.
I see. I can see goggles being as valuable as action figures to a World War II or a Korean pilot. Yes. Okay. Now, speaking of flying aviator glasses or goggles, well, Colonel Klink of Stalag 13, the Iron Eagle, or Blood and Guts Klink, used to wear that monocle. Now, can you name any wrestlers or managers that wore a goggle in the early days of WWF?
Mm.
The only one that comes to my mind is Colonel De Beers. Yes.
Well, he didn't wear so much goggles as a monocle.
Yes.
Becky Lynch, this very day and age, wears goggles to the ring.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay.
Yes, Becky Lynch, formerly known as Rebecca Knox, when she wrestled up here in the Pacific Northwest for Pinnacle Pro Wrestling out of Auburn and Pacific Washington.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Yes, I think they used to wrestle in the Auburn Mall. Yes.
Yes, the Auburn Super Mall, and prior to that, a place called the Havoc Haven in Pacific Washington.
You know, some guy, I think it's going to be, maybe I will save up my money and get a monocle for Paul Moonshine in a gesture of goodwill. Yes. Even though we have this stepladder match and it might be brutal, I hope there's no hard feelings after I pin him 1, 2, 3 in the center of the ring. I'm going to give him a monocle. Yes.
Are you going to run to him at ringside when he's managing his nephew, Jason the Gift Kincaid, and try to fit the monocle into his eye?
Oh, no, I don't think I'd ever try to injure someone's eyesight, sign guy. Yes.
Well, how do you plan to present this prized possession to Paul?
Well, I'd hope that all the wrestlers would come out, kind of like they do in a tin bill, surround the ring, and then, after I had defeated Paul Moonshine and my arm was raised, I'd gesture for all the wrestlers to come out. And then I'd say, Paul Moonshine, I know I just beat you in our stepladder match, but as a gesture of goodwill for all your contributions above and beyond the Call of Duty, I present you with a Blood and Guts Patty's Home Plate monocle. Blood and Guts, as a reference to Colonel Klink. Yes, that's what I'm getting at. I think Paul Moonshine.
Now, what would make it a Patty's Home Plate monocle as opposed to just your standard monocle?
Well, as you know, Sun Guy, Patty's Home Plate is filled with all kinds of memorabilia, you know, and action figures. I'm going to have to message her and see if she has some said monocles. Yes.
I'm sure she awaits your telephone call to ask if she has any monocles in the store.
Yeah, they can't be very busy on a Friday afternoon, can they? And certainly she would stop. She'd stop such action to answer my questions. Yes.
I don't see why not.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, now, Sanga, you had it. Unfortunately, I had to be at work Monday morning. I couldn't go to Blue Collar Wrestling. Did you happen to referee the match where Honky Tonk was in action? Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if you had a chance to be in the ring at the same time as a Honky Tonk man?
Yes, that was a couple of weeks ago. I was the official in charge of that six man.
Oh, okay. He wasn't there this past weekend.
No, this past weekend he was not there. This past week saw an impromptu tag team match, however, also featuring the new Dungeon of Doom, but the Honky Tonk Man was not there. He had a big falling out with his partners.
Uh-oh, can you tell what led to this falling out?
Well, Chauncey Williver had apparently paid the Honky Tonk Man to appear at NWA Blue Collar, so he owned the contract of the Honky Tonk Man, and then demanded that the Honky Tonk Man team with himself and Dave Havoc Hollenbeck. Honky Tonk Man was not pleased at his partners. He didn't want to have to fight the new Dungeon of Doom, but contractually obligated, he did do the match, but then hit Dave Havoc Hollenbeck with something I can only describe as the rattle, and then allowed Bad Blood to pin Havoc to claim victory.
The rattle, there was no shake and roll involved?
Nope. Nope. Clearly not. Just the rattle.
Has it been disclosed how much Chauncey Williver had to fork over in monetary policy to make this happen?
I did not hear terms disclosed, but I'm sure it was a very large amount.
I see. Very large amount. Okay, very good. Okay. Now, Sangay, on that card with the Honky Tonk Man, what was the opening match of the evening? Can you recall?
See, I believe the opening match was, I believe it was this guy versus Tectonic.
Oh, okay. All right. Did T-Rex happen to referee that match?
No, that was Dylan that had that match.
Oh, very nice. Okay, very good. Okay, all right. Now, how long has it been since Crash Lina has been in action? As our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans know, I'm a huge fan of Crash Lina. Yes.
Well, I've not seen her in a few weeks, possibly 3 or 4 weeks since she last graced NWA Blue Collar, but I can confirm her pictures were selling like the proverbial hotcake.
What has been the top-selling picture at Blue Collar Wrestling, Sangai?
I don't have the stats, but I know that Crash Ellis sold a lot of them, as did Big V.
Ah. I see. Now, Sangai, how much would you pay for a dual picture of Big V and Bob and, or Bobette, a dual autograph of picture?
I believe they go for $250.
$250, man, that's like two 7-Eleven burritos on sale. That's quite steep. Okay, very good. All right.
Still worth it, though. It's a great price for a picture of dual autographs.
Yeah, dual. Okay, all right. All right. Well, how much would you pay, let's say, for a Devin Bellinger Crash Lina dual autograph? Yes.
I have a Devin Bellinger one lowers the value quite a bit. 37 cents, I guess.
37 cents. Wow, that's scraping the bottom of the barrel, yes. Now,
if it was solely a Crash Lina, maybe $4 or $5.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Once you add South Park onto that, it drops the value like a sinking ship.
A scuttle-butted ship, yes. Yes, a Devin Bellinger has Titanic-like qualities. Yes.
Is that because he tries to imitate Leonardo DiCaprio quite often?
Yes, sign guy, yes. Have you seen where Devin Bellinger has Leonardo DiCaprio kind of like photo effervescence? Yes. They have a slight resemblance. I give them that. Yes. Leonardo
now,
DiCaprio.
Can you confirm you have offered to take South Park Bellinger to Patty's home plate for a chicken sandwich and hash browns with ice water? Are there any truth to those rumors?
No, Sangai. You know, I am currently on Facebook, and there is a restaurant in the Longview area. It's a Chinese restaurant, and let me see. I think it is named Far Hung Low. Let me see now. Oh, well, now wait a second. Okay, there's a Hung Farlow at 2410 Southeast 82nd Avenue, Portland, Oregon. And apparently it's kind of branched out because there is a Hung Farlow in Longview, Washington. I knew that. That's at 3061 Ocean Beach Highway, Longview, Washington. Now, it does say Cantonese in the description of Hung Farlow. What I'm getting at is I'd rather take Ed Devin Bellinger to Hung Farlow in Longview than Hung Farlow in Portland, Oregon, because the one in Portland, Oregon just says Chinese, while Cantonese is the one in Longview.
Well, that limits the choices, doesn't it? If you were to go to the one in Portland that said Chinese, you would get something from all of the regions of China, whereas you go to Longview and it's strictly Cantonese.
Well, I am now on their Facebook page, and why I would take Devin Bellinger to this establishment is it has 4 out of 5 stars. Now, to get a 4 out of 5 stars in Longview is pretty rare. See? And they got live music. I'm not sure I like this band name, Plowed, P-L-O-U-D. But they do have big screens there. If you go on the Hung Farlow, boy, it's pretty impressive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 big screen TVs and 4 pool tables. And if you look at the area that the pool tables occupy, looks like you could fit a wrestling ring in there. That's what I'm getting at. All you Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, I highly demand that you go on Hung Farlow's Facebook page and take a look at that area that is occupied by the pool tables. And I think we could have put a wrestling ring in there. I think a budget deficit and Devin Bunter will host a competition to bring wrestling back to Longview. That's what I'm getting at. Hung Farlow. Yes.
Now, whose ring would you use? Would you go to maybe the fine people at Woodland Pro Wrestling to see if they would set up shop, or would you maybe try to get NWA Blue Collar there? Maybe you would talk to the people at 321 Battle to see if they'd be interested?
I'd go to Woodland Pro Wrestling to cut down on the overhead. It's a far less distance. Yes.
All right. Now, I was remiss earlier when I gave the show notes. Also, for tonight, 321 Battle is running Evolve Fitness in Seattle, Washington. And tomorrow night, we have Lucha Volcanica in Seattle. So a couple of choices if you're in the Seattle area over the next couple of days.
Ah, wow. Will you be at said Lucha Volcanica event?
I will not personally be there. I'm taking a couple of days off as I prepare to make my Idaho debut next week.
Oh, you're Idaho. You're traveling to Idaho?
Yes, next week I will be debuting for Wrestle Club in Idaho. My very first time wrestling for Wrestle Club or at any location in Idaho.
Is that Saturday or Sunday?
It will be Saturday of next week.
Oh, wow, okay. Now, is there any chance that you're going to run into the Lost Soul Garibay?
Very, very possible. And speaking of Wrestle Club, they also have a show running tomorrow. They will be in Caldwell, Idaho tomorrow night. So you should definitely check that out. If you're looking for wrestling in Idaho, it is a free fundraising event.
Now, this Wrestle Club in Idaho that you're going to Saturday, what time are you going to leave the greater Seattle area to get there on time?
Very early in the morning.
I see. Will it be a 6-hour? No, it'll take you about 7 hours to get there, right?
Roughly.
Is it in Boise?
No, I believe it is a suburb of Boise.
Suburb, okay, all right. Do you view this wrestle club in Idaho, your debut, as important as an appearance on the Gouge roster with Seymour Snott?
I wouldn't feel comfortable putting it up there because wrestling for Gouge, of course, my only dream in life. But I'm very excited to be part of Wrestle Club, a fairly new promotion that they're just getting underway in Idaho. So I'm excited to be there.
Wow. Now will this be strictly in a referee role?
You never know. I'm multifaceted.
I see. Are there any truth to the rumors that you might carpool with Darth Carter?
None at all.
Oh, okay. Boy, I got to tell you, Darth Carter, I haven't seen him in action for quite some time. But next to Crash Salina, probably my favorite wrestler in the Northwest, Darth Carter.
Well, did you see his tag team match where he was briefly, very briefly, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling's Pacific Northwest Tag Team Champion with Petrov?
Oh, wow. I don't think I ever saw Darth Carter wrestle with Gregor Petrov. Or I can't remember. Maybe I was at the hot dog concession stand at that point.
Possibly. He was teamed with Petrov when Petrov was going through partners and briefly held the tag team title. They, of course, were defeated by Iron Man and Tony Stetson.
Oh, I see. Did Iron Man bring a boot to the jaw to Darth Carter? Did that seal Darth Carter's fate?
Did not see a boot, but there was some black hole slamming on Darth Carter.
Oh, man. No, Oh, boy. A little bit downcast that anyone would dark hole slam Darth Carter. It was one of my favorite experiences to do a slight dance at the Lake Oswego Grange Hall with Darth Carter. Well, one of my top five Northwest wrestling experiences to dance with, briefly dance with Darth Carter. And Darth Carter was on his way to the ring. That's what I'm getting at. Yes.
I see. Now, I can confirm now, next week in Idaho, it will be at Garden City. That's where I will be, Garden City, Idaho.
Oh, Garden City, Idaho. Wow.
Have you ever been to Garden City, Idaho before, QT?
Garden City, no. You know, but it's been a long time since I've had a long road trip. I have a feeling that I probably, the way my work schedule's been going all my Sundays, I haven't been able to witness, Blue Collar since I got to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning. Maybe a trip to Garden City might be in the works. I rarely at all work any Saturdays. I will have to strongly see if I could attend this wrestle club. Well, when's the event? 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock?
Let me see. I will look that up momentarily while you give us a report of your top five favorite Pacific Northwest wrestlers while I look that up.
Oh, now, sign guy, as you know, my top five Northwest wrestlers kind of change with the seasons. Now, of course, Crash Lena would have to be an all-season favorite wrestler. Yes. So, as for the number one through number five rankings, I can't really specify Crash Lena. She's in flux. She could go all the way from number one to tied with number five. Yes. Okay. Now, of course, Gregor Petrov is in the mix. Yes, Gregor Petrov. Sometimes, though, Gregor Petrov will drop to number seven. But he's pretty much permanently in that top five. And, of course, Big B. Big B. Big B is up there, you know. One of the only wrestlers to come and sit with me at ringside, and I wasn't even testing security at the time. So Big B gives huge props. Yes. Now, Kellen Reyes ranks up there. Kellen Reyes, yes. Kellen and Annie Reyes.
Now, are you putting him at number 3, which is a step up from number 4, which he previously held?
Oh, all right. Kellen will take the middle of the pack, ranking at number 3. Yes.
I'm all right, there's two more spots, and you've claimed that Darth Carter holds one of them. Who are the final two?
Now, before I give you my final two wrestlers, I do sometimes get enraged at the fans who jump on a stupid proverbial bandwagon and make fun of Kellen's, how would you say, physical stature. They underestimate Kellen's physical stature. That guy's a powerful man. I myself have seen the bottom of the sneaker come within 2 inches of my eyes.
Wow.
Yes. And what are
your final two spots?
What's that?
Your final two spots, one of which presumably would be Darth Carta.
Oh, yes, yes, it will. Darth Carta, as I mentioned before, he's in there. Crash Lena, Kellen and Annie Reyes tied at number 3, you know, for longevity in my top 5. Now, I did say Big B and Bob, didn't I?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Big B.
But you said Crashella was in flux and not a solid member of the top 5, so you did not count her.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, now I'm going to let me see now. How about Damon Vaughn? Damon Vaughn, let me see. Damon
Eddie
Van
Von Damon?
Eddie Von Damon.
Wow. Wow, that's going back. All right.
Yes, yes, he is also in flux, but it typically makes the top 5, yes.
All right, based on his 2 career matches.
Oh, yes, I love wrestlers with short matches. I mean, careers, yes.
All right.
And, of course, the final spot has to be given to Paul Moonshine.
How does it go to Paul Moonshine when you said that Darth Carter was in your top 5?
Oh, okay. All right, then cancel that. Yes.
Well, that idiot Darth Carter probably had his heart drop to the region of his liver for a minute when he heard that.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm 99.9%. Sure that Darth Carta would never sell out and attack me from behind. That's what I'm getting at. Yes. Never sell out.
I don't know. He's a sneaky character.
Oh, now put it this way. If I was in a World War II airplane like the P-38 Mustang, which Dick Bong flew and got all his victories in, I'd have him be my wingman. Yes. Or if I happen to be in a prisoner of war, say like Stalag 13 and the monocled Colonel Klink, he's the one I would pull hijinks with and go over the wall, you know, and maybe have a beer at the Hofbrau house after climbing out of a stump right outside Stalag 13. Yes.
All right. Now, I have confirmed next Saturday there in Garden City, Idaho, 2 p.m. start. It's a 2 p.m. start.
2 p.m. start. I see. Do you know anyone else that will be on the card?
Presumably most of your Wrestle Club regulars will be there. The team of Helter Skelter. Garibay will be there.
Bryce Bennett. There's a host of others. They're all just getting started, except for Garibay pretty much. But they're looking to be a pretty good company. And keep in mind, that is 2 p.m. Mountain Time.
Uh-oh. 2 p.m. Mountain Time. What would that be our time then? 1? Because there's an hour difference.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mountain Time, yeah. Well, okay. Now I'm going to put that down as a strong possibility. After all, you know, I do have a little bit of, let's say, confiscated loot sitting in the bank doing nothing.
There you go. What better way to spend it than to spend it on some professional wrestling in Idaho?
Yeah, seeing how I probably won't be able to go to... I don't know. When's the next holiday, sign guy? When's the next Monday holiday?
Probably Labor Day.
Ah, yeah, right. Labor Day. Well, now that's coming up. I'm sure I probably won't be working at Labor Day. Isn't that September 1st?
First Monday in September.
Oh, wow, first Monday in September. Okay. Well, I hopefully I will be in a very good mood because September 2nd is my birthday, and there's rumors I'm going to be maybe receiving another pillow photograph from Casey Carlisle, or maybe an autograph from Team Bad Knees. That'd be huge.
That would be huge.
See, now, if there's a Team Bad Knees, why couldn't I form a Team Bad Liver with Paul Moonshine? Wow.
I don't know.
Bad Liver. Yes. Well, okay, all right. That's something I'll also have to run by Patty if she would maybe sponsor a Team Bad Liver, Paul Moonshine, and Budget Deficit. I mean, 2G Votes. Yes.
Now, do you think Paul has a bad liver? Do we have this verified?
Oh, I just pretty much assumed. I assumed he had a bad liver. Yes.
Well, we might have to have him go through some sort of medical testing to confirm that he does, in fact, have a bad liver.
Oh, yes, a medical test. Once again, sign guy, you are forward-thinking, and you know what? You're forward-thinking, and you cover all the bases. That should be your Cowlitz River Indian name. Cowlitz River.
Nice.
Yes. The forward thinker. Yes. Wouldn't that be like a dialysis? Dialysis, yes.
Well, that's what he would need if he had a bad kidneys.
Maybe so. Dialysis. Okay. I'm going to get on that and ask Paul Moonshine 25 questions about his liver. Has to be done. You know, it's not the most pleasant of tests, but something logistically that we have to look at. Yes. 25 questions.
Nice.
Paul Moonshine.
Now, are you going to put the bill for the medical testing of one Paul Moonshine?
Nah, just your standard group I delivered to him to get him through such dialysis and questioning.
All right. Now, QT, if you were to get someone on board and get you this Casey Carlisle autographed picture for your next birthday, do you think it would be Beast Barnett that would make the purchase?
Oh, boy, I don't know. You say, when is Beast Barnett's birthday?
I believe it is in November.
Wow, November. Okay, I'm going to have to do some. It looks like I myself have a homework assignment. Look up the Beast Barnett's birthday. Yes.
All right.
After
Are you saying you would buy him a Casey Carlisle autograph picture for his birthday in return?
Oh, I don't know. I think he'd rather have a QT Vokes autograph or action figure.
Wow. All right.
Wouldn't he? All right. Who would appreciate it more, Team Bad Knees or Dave the Beast Barnett, a QT Vokes action figure?
Well, there's several members of Team Bad Knees, so how would they split that?
Well, I'd have to send 2. Yes.
Well, there's like 5 members.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. There are five members. Boy, that would be a huge overhead. Maybe I just give them autographs. Yes. That way you cut kind of like the cost.
You wouldn't do it on individual sheets of paper, would you? You'd cut one piece of paper up five ways.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay, yes. How about I send Dave the Beast Barnett an autographed pick that was used in the singing of I've Got a Brown Eye for the World?
Well, I think that is in his top eight songs of all time.
Oh, very nice. I didn't know this. Yes.
Now, for his birthday, have you planned to call Beast Barnett and sing I've Got a Brown Eye for the World? Perhaps
using a
Les Paul guitar.
Hey, now that'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Yes. Wow, I'm going to put that down as a nice suggestion. Okay. Sarah, yeah, we'll sing Dave the Beast Barnett, I've Got a Brown Eye for the World for his birthday. Very nice. I think he'd be pretty receptive to that, yes.
I don't see why not.
Oh, okay. Brown Eye for the World. Very nice.
Now, have you put your previous Casey Carlisle autograph photo in a nice frame?
Oh, it is in a nice frame, yes. Yes.
Is it a wood frame?
It's kind of like a composite wood, yes.
Very nice. And does it hang in your kitchen?
Oh, no. I wouldn't want to get it. I wouldn't want to splatter it with like any of the mini sauces that I prepare. I'm a huge, I myself am a semi-pro saucier sign guy. Yes, saucier.
Uh-huh. Now, is your favorite sauce to prepare perhaps a honey glaze sauce?
No, it's mango chutney.
Ah. And have you ever prepared this for Beast Barnett?
No, I haven't. Do you think mango chutney would be one of Dave the Beast Barnett's favorite sauces?
I think it would be in his top 15 at least. Now imagine his delight should you travel out on Beast's birthday, sing I've Got a Brown Eye for the World, and then present him not only with a Casey Carlisle autographed picture, but with a 10-ounce jar of mango chutney.
Wow, well, that's quite the train of thought there and projects to do. I think that would be more like a 10th wedding anniversary gift should he get married again. Yes.
Well, that's putting a lot of pressure on him to stay in the marriage for that long.
It's a lot of pressure to make a good sauce.
It really is.
All right, well, Sangha, you now know that mango chutney is my number one sauce to make. How about a peppercorn pine nut sauce? Pine nuts are kind of expensive, but a peppercorn pine nut sauce.
I don't believe I've ever had such a sauce.
I see. Okay, well, that's something to note. Sangha, I never had a peppercorn pine nut sauce. Okay. See, I
now, would you use this for like some sort of whitefish?
Yes. Yes.
Very interesting. I would sample that because it sounds intriguing, like maybe with a halibut.
There you go, halibut or sole. Sole is good, you know, sole.
Perhaps even a orange roughy.
I don't know. Ruffy's kind of you're starting to get down into the lower kind of class of fish there, Ruffy. Yes. Not bad, but not outstanding. It's like orange Ruffy. I equate that with, let's say, a mid-level flank steak. While your peppercorn pine nut sauce Or your mango, especially your mango chutney, is like a prime ribeye. Quite a bit of difference.
That is all true.
Yes. Now, Sun Guy, is one of your favorite all-time war movies, and this relates to wrestling, Apocalypse Now, where they're in a small boat off the coast of Vietnam, and Martin Sheen is in the boat with a guy they call Cookie. Now, Cookie had big plans to get out of the Army and become a saucier in a very high-class five-star restaurant. And Cookie goes ashore and indeed is looking up mangoes to make a sauce when a tiger roars and scares Cookie, and he comes screaming back into the boat, mumbling, screaming something about a tiger and never getting out of the boat. Is that one of your favorite scenes?
No, I'd say not. Let's see, favorite war movie, I would go with Star Wars, which of course was a Revolutionary War movie.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, Sign Guy, that I have it under strict confidential, I can't reveal my sources, that scene with Cookie going ashore in Apocalypse Now and looking for mangoes for like a mango sauce is one of Aaron Bolo's all-time favorites.
Have you considered asking Bolo this?
Well, yeah, I've considered 4 out of 5 stars confirmation, yes.
All right. Now, was this asked of him at Project 42 Wrestling last week?
All right. I'm going to, and the first time ever on Turnbuckle Turmoil, I'm going to go on Facebook and ask a question that I just asked. Yes. I am now looking up Aaron Bolo, and I'm going to ask him that question.
All right.
For confirmation. This is huge. Yes. Check out Aaron Bolo. Oh, there he is. Okay, very good. Okay. I'm going to say, as per our conversation today, oh, now, wait a second. Why can't I bring up Aaron Bolo's face? Has he blocked me? Oh, come on.
That would be huge.
Oh, okay. Let me see now. There's Tim and Nancy Crass. There's a note from Devin Bellinger. Come on, I can't get Aaron Bolo. I've got Defola Debashi. What's Defola Debashi say? I know Trump is not an angel, but how can anyone just overlook Clinton's email and the... Oh, okay, Benghazi. Ordeal. Okay. Let's see what else Defola Debashi is up to. This might become a regular, kind of going on wrestlers' Facebook page and seeing what they're up to and giving a brief Turnbuckle Turmoil overview of what they're up to. Yes.
Then I'm going to request the next wrestler after Debashi be Lance Dean.
Of what?
Lance Dean. That's who I would like to hear after
Lance
Debashi.
Dean. Yeah, Lance Dean. Okay. All right. That could be, yes. Oh, see, let me see. Japan really gets the needs and wants of Rex Sharp. Ooh, that's very, very important. Okay.
They really do.
Joe Pepperoni. Oh. Some people will. Oh, wait a second. Daniel Brown never knew Big Pun. Devin Bellinger's up to no good. I'm going to take the lovely Lila to a Big Pun Rocket from the Crypt musical festival. Opening up for this dual act is Alien Ant Farm. Will you also spring for a concert t-shirt and bottled water? Daniel Brown never knew Big Pun. Oh, okay, that's very. Okay.
Wow. And all this came out of Debashi.
No, that was under a lovely Lila post.
Wow. That is completely not Lance Dean.
How did we ever segue into that?
I don't know. I think somehow Beast Barnett was behind it.
Yeah, Beast is a big fan of the half comic, half sports entertainer CM Punk. That's it. CM Punk.
I can see that. Well, before this totally goes off the rails, I think we should wrap this up nice and neat. So lots of shows going on. Check them out. If there's any wrestling near you, Sunday, we'll be back 2 big hours. We will have Vinny Pacifico with us at our normal start time on Sunday. And then following that, immediately, we'll be joined by Jamin Olavincia. So it should be outstanding. We'll talk to you Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Today we play Great Moments in Opera. Okay, cutie vote. In 1710, Agrippina by Handel. This was Handel's last opera that he composed.